Hello, this is Lisa Russick with the podcast We're All Psychic, and we have Donna today. What's up, Donna?
Nothing much.
Nothing much. Good. Nothing like a good Coca-Cola from Mexico, you said?
Yeah, Mexico.
I'm going to answer your question first before I tell the listeners about this, but...
Okay.
Do you still think we're all psychic? Yes, she still thinks we're all psychic, right?
Is that your I do absolutely think we are all psychic.
Okay, good. Well, listeners, she just told me this fascinating thing that in Mexico, the Coca-Cola is made with cane sugar, right?
Just regular cane sugar.
And she says it doesn't have the high fructose corn syrup.
No corn syrup. I can't wait to try it. Yeah, no corn syrup, no, I think they sometimes call it cane syrup. They don't use that. Regular cane sugar in the recipe with the other stuff.
That is just a silver lining in my day.
There's a silver lining.
Speaking of listeners and watchers, this is a video podcast on Spotify. And Donna and I are going to talk about, there's a lot of hard parts to working in the energy working field or just doing it. And working with your own energy or with other people, especially. And so Donna and I were going to talk about that, but there's always a reason for it, is what we both think. And we always kind of, well, if you're lucky, if you find out later what the silver lining is, but you can kind of look, can't you? You can kind of figure where it might go, even though it's really hard with clients sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what we're talking. I was thinking more with clients and managing my life. Mm-hmm. Time and time management, you know, with it. I've had some hard times around that too, and getting burned out. But for example, listeners, a silver lining to me with getting burned out with the first phone platform I worked for was that they fired me. But I was really ready to do something else then. I was ready to, I did continue a little bit with the psychic work on another line. And then I decided, this isn't for me right now. I really want to go to ghostwriting, and ghostwriting is really what I wanted to do, because I didn't have any success with my own fiction, which is a very long story. It's not that their fiction was great, but it's a really weird story. I'll have to tell you about someone took my name.
Oh, nice.
But I was just starting.
Yeah, that's always great.
Yeah, she's still around too. It's very strange. I don't know if she's a real person or not. I've talked about it here and there on the podcast. It's just very strange. But the silver lining to that was that I did get some really great experience when I was younger, you know, when I was in my 30s and I had the hustle. Before I got burned out on that, you know, 12-hour shift of constant calls, you know, we weren't paid nearly as much as what professionals are paid now, I think, on most places. Yeah. But it was such high volume that, you know, you made decent money. I did. It was the best money I'd made, except for running sound in a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. And but it wasn't about that. There was something frustrating about that, though, because I never got like my regulars that I did in town. Mm-hmm. And then with Everclear, or, you know, like I have regular clients that's my favorite part of working, but that's also hard because you see them go through some really incredibly tough things. Like, can you give an example like of what?
Oh, for sure. You know, and I also have worked various lines. Very happy to be working on Everclear now because I like that platform. I like the opportunity to actually build some client relationships. A lot of times it's just, it stays very anonymous. And I'm not talking about people's privacy, certainly.
No, yeah.
But it's the idea that you may get that 3-minute or 5-minute call and never speak to them.
Yeah, never know.
Definitely health issues, although we can't read on health.
Yes.
But that's okay. And I respect
that. I understand.
And the clients respect it too.
Yes.
They realize they're usually not calling because they want guidance about their health.
Usually. It just comes
up. But as they're going through it and everything else in their life that impacts, we're certainly able to look at that and help guide them through that piece of it without treading into the medical field where
this is just addition to. Definitely. Yeah.
So certainly I have a very dear client who's gone through, and she's a client on Everclear and has gone through, you know, quite a journey now with her health and how that's impacted her relationship.
Yeah.
Because it has, you know, and So there's ways, because everything is interconnected. You know, everything in our lives is interconnected.
Yeah.
And especially when you're facing a big challenge. I mean, yeah, there's going to be impact in your work.
Oh, yeah. I've lived that life, you know, my health affecting all my relationships.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so it's hard. And it is hard to find the silver lining sometimes. I mean, you know, and I'm not about, you know, unicorns and pink, you know, clouds. And
I kind of am.
I love it. I love it as a, I love to fantasize about it, but I realize that when life knocks us on our ass, you should pardon the expression, but when life knocks us on our ass, you know, right at that moment, the unicorns and the rainbows, you know, farting out their ass, are not exactly, you know, they're pretty thin on the ground at that moment.
They're not helping you out too much, are they?
Right. And at that moment, I think it's really, to me, it's about acknowledge. It's not about getting stuck in a loop of negativity, but you can't deny that in that, to me, you shouldn't deny your feelings. That doesn't necessarily mean you should act on them.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you should feed that.
Right.
But not being able to say in that moment, oh my God, this is really pretty terrible. And it sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At this moment where I am is not, it's not a place I want to be. It's okay to me. It's okay to say that.
It is okay.
You know, express that, because only then I think, are you able to expand your vision and get a different perspective.
And to be listened to, and to have someone listen to you say that is just, really hear it, you know?
Yes.
And understand. Hear
it, yeah. And understand it and offer compassion and comfort. To me, that's not self-indulgence.
But don't you have that urge? You want to heal her? You want to
be like a magic magician
and be like, you're all better.
You want to make it all better.
Yes. Yes. You want to make
I love my clients. I really do. Even my difficult clients.
I know what you mean. I love all of them. Yeah.
I love my clients and I want the best for them. I want to see them have the lives that they want. I want to see them be happy, healthy, successful.
Yeah.
All those things. And so, but giving comfort when someone's hurting, you know, to me, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think it's an integral part of the whole healing process. That's why when you can continue to work with somebody, you can kind of keep going on that journey, right? At least for a while. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And yes, we'll get to that at least for a while part. I'd like to save that for the end.
Yeah.
When they go bye-bye because they're happy. But I think for me, a difficult thing is never knowing what happens to some clients. Mm-hmm. You can be working with them like maybe intensively for a good maybe month or something. Mm-hmm. Or you have talked to them for maybe just a few times but it was intense. Or even a long-term client. I find it like I get my own feelings kind of involved in what they want.
Yes.
Sometimes. And then their projections, what they're worried about, I will think is true.
Yeah.
You know, they're all cheating, or there's another woman, or she's got another guy or something. But that's not really hardly ever going on from my point of view. Yeah. It's usually they're thinking things through, you know, or they're not even interested. You know, if it's that kind of situation, if they're stressing, the person I'm with is working through a love interest or their romantic size, because that's usually why they first call, or their career.
Yeah.
But when I've been working with them for a long time and seeing it change, you know, I've been wrong a lot, you know, not wrong, but I'll be like, one day the lover is really like affectionate and great
and present.
They're all saying it. Yeah. The cards are saying they changed their ways and stuff like this. And then the next day it's all boom, crashes down. And, you know, I'm like, well, why? Why was it last night and not today? You know, so those are experiences. That's what my silver lining was there. You know, like the cards will reflect right now. And in that particular case, the person involved had a mood change. That's all it was. Yeah. A mood swing.
Yeah. You know?
And
often those things are very, I'll say, even if there's been a previous pattern of behavior, sometimes though, again, people's moods and feelings change in the moment, right?
Yes. I mean,
because of whatever's, and often doesn't have anything to do with the other person.
It really doesn't. It's usually their own insecurities.
It's their own stuff.
Yeah.
And that's going to come up in a relationship. And one thing that I think is really valuable is helping someone understand I'm not going to say, oh, well, don't take it personally. I mean, if you're romantically involved with someone and you're in love with them and the whole thing, that's about as personal as it gets, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's personal. Yeah. What I say is not don't take it personally, but understand you are not the reason certain things happen or certain behaviors.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. That's a very good point. Yes.
And so the silver lining there sometimes is for a person to step back, not that they should accept abuse, verbal, emotional, or any kind of abuse.
No.
But if someone's had a bad, you know, is having a really like a bad hair day and they're snippy or they bark at them or they seem cold or they withdraw, that again, don't
typical relationship stuff. Yeah.
Don't take that in and say, oh, it must be me and something must be wrong with me.
Right.
I'm the boss.
It's hard to get through to some people that they really, because they were taught maybe when they were growing up, usually is what the cards or guides will tell me. To be seen and not heard or something like that. Or if they have an opinion, no, that's not your opinion. You know, don't talk about that, you know, stuff like that. They were usually talked to that way. So they are attracted to people who talk to them that way because they think that's what love is. And again, some people I've watched, you know, they're very, especially with like say a client I've been reading for a long time with a very troubled person in their a lover in their life. Who has a lot of baggage from the past and stuff. That's like what they typically will attract because that's what they knew in their lives as love. You know, people need them to take care of them.
Right. And so that familiarity as uncomfortable as it often is very familiar.
And finally get the client to realize this is not your fault. Mm-hmm. Get that through. None of this is your fault. This person treating you in this way. Get it. Like actually make them realize. I can't make them realize. They realize themselves. Right. But until that time, it's hard. But that's the silver lining for me because they've always realized it in the end that they aren't at fault. You know that they either will fit, you know, work on the relationship or get out of it if it's not what they want. You know, but that when they have that realization that they have power and what this person says to them sometimes isn't the truth about them.
Right.
You know, and they'll admit their wrongs too sometimes, you know, the way they'd react to this reaction, to that reaction, you know.
Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you've got people pinging off each other.
Yes.
And if it's and if it's in a spiral that's, you know, very negative, they need some way to kind of break, you know, to break that cycle.
Break that cycle, yes.
And often when I'm reading for people, what I have to tell them is I'm not reading for your partner.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were, that would be a different story. But I'm reading for you and I can tell you what's possible. I can give you insight into the other person, but I'm not reading for them.
Yeah.
I can't give them guidance.
Right.
And that may not even be guidance that they would know what to do with or know how to apply or process. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I can only focus on you, meaning the client.
Right. Client. Give them how practical.
You can, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff they can do or not do, you know, as the advice may be.
Yeah.
It's really cool though, when they do take my advice or something like that and it works out the way I said it would or something.
Yes.
That's always a big thing. That's a great feeling. And a lot of times my guides will give me dates and sometimes I don't know if anything is going to happen. And I love it when I get the validation. I know you never know. Most of the time, I never know when Morgana gives me a date to tell a client, I'll never know if anything happened. But if it's every once in a while, a client will let me know if something happened. And I'm just like, oh, that's so cool. You know, I can't get names, but I can get that from Morgana, you know?
Yeah. Names and initials do not come very often to me at all. Once in a great, great while.
Yeah.
Often people will say, well, you know, especially if they're maybe looking to meet somebody, right?
Right.
I won't. I mean, I do see sometimes, but it's rare for me to see another person's physical characteristics. Again, it comes through sometimes.
Right.
For me, it's predominantly, it's an energetic thing as opposed to an appearance thing.
Yeah.
But I am actually I get a lot of time. I actually do get timing pretty frequently.
You know, as we work on things, we get better. I've been practicing with names and I'm starting to get closer.
Yeah.
Some of them, like, that's not my dad's name, but that's my grandfather's name or something like, you know?
Yeah. And I'm definitely, and again, I'm definitely open. I'm open to whatever information comes in whatever form it comes.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people are like, well, can you
tell me? They put a lot of weight on the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some do. And I don't know why. I guess for me, it would be about the, I guess it's something to look for is if you have a name. But to me, I just can't get names. I feel like we all have like maybe one great name of our soul, you know, and other than that, we just kind of incarnate into whatever names we choose or are given, whatever, you know.
Well, and the thing is, even if I were to get a name and I were to tell the person, okay, whatever the person's name is, Joe, whatever. That doesn't mean that the next Joe they meet is that Joe.
Right.
That's not that. Exactly. It might be somebody named Joe, but it might not be the Joe.
Right. And another thing, oh my gosh, so many, I would say this is mainly the female clients who do this. Mm-hmm. And I feel so bad. They're like, there's just no men anywhere. And I'm looking at the cards and there's a man here. There's a man there. Yeah, there's a man there. It's like, you got all these men. But I can understand if they're not the ones you want. But, you know, I'm just like, you have so many people interested in you and they don't believe me. They're like, no. I'm like, yeah, they really are. People are interested in who you are. A lot of people calling the line or calling into a place to a psychic or even coming to see one. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a crisis or a curiosity.
Yeah.
But when they keep coming back, it's like they're learning themselves. They're usually people who have lived life very sensitive, you know, and to the energies already, and they already know something about it. Unless I'm doing like a festival or something, you know, an event. Usually, I will get people who've already had readings at some point or plenty of, you know.
Yes, that's
and when they're starting to date. Or something usually is when a lot of people start calling for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing right now? You know? Right. And I feel like that's a really sensitive time for everybody in that relationship. And you know how the beginning is so intense. And he doesn't text that one day or two, or she doesn't, you know, reply right fast enough or whatever.
Yeah.
Million things, you know, because you don't know them well enough and your heart's all whoa.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh,
that's a feel it in them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm doubting it. I'm doubting it. Maybe he's awful. Like, I've been all about this, you know, this relationship was going good. You know, he seems great. She seems great, whatever. And all of a sudden I'm just right there with him. You know.
Well, I do have, and not that I have always applied it in my own life, and I will be the first to admit that. But my first thing usually right at that moment is, okay, so first and foremost, don't panic.
Yes.
Don't panic.
Yes.
I know how you feel. I have felt how you feel. I have been where you are. Don't panic. If you panic, you are likely to either do or say something to your own self or to
that's what I was about to say to yourself. You'll mess your own self up.
Yeah. You're going to mess with your own head and you're going to mess with the other person at exactly the wrong moment, but at a crucial moment.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, okay, psycho.
or just say something rude and hurt their feelings. You know,
I'm not
wanting to talk right now. And I can hurt their feelings, you know, if they're not really close yet and they haven't worked to how do we converse yet, you know, thing.
Yeah.
About the serious stuff, the heavy stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I guess the silver lining there is when that communication really works for them.
Yes. Yeah,
when they get someone, they're with someone and they're getting advice, you know, we're telling them, I like talking to you. You know, you have interesting things to say. That's why he's into you.
Yes.
And they're like, you know, he said that. I was like, it's true.
It's true. He's not lying to you. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they realize their value and stuff like too, just random people and to this person, you know?
Yeah. And really, I think another silver lining is when a person remembers, and I really will say remembers. For some people, they really do discover it for the first time, just depending on what their background and their experience has been, their life experience. For many people, it's not that moment of initial discovery. It's a remembering their value.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. That's very,
you know, it's like, remember your value,
especially in love relationships.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't devalue yourself. Don't
for someone
devalue,
else.
Yeah. And don't devalue what it is that you bring to the table.
Right. Right.
Don't discount, right?
But literally all the good and yourself. The problems. Yeah.
Exactly. But don't discount yourself.
Yeah.
The better you treat yourself and the more you remember your value, not as an arrogant or a conceited person who thinks they're the, you know, be all and end all, but that you have worth, you have intelligence, you have humor, you have beauty, you
right. have
those things in some combinations, right? And they're unique combination because it's you.
Yeah.
And someone will value that. Someone that likes you and is into you will value that.
They will.
Don't put that on the bargain. You know, don't discount that yourself and put that on the clearance shelf.
Right.
Because if you start devaluing you, believe it or not, then they will start to
you'll act differently. You won't act like yourself.
Exactly. And then they will devalue you. They'll start to question.
Yeah. And they'll be like, why is she or why is he? Yeah. Why are they so different?
Yeah, why are they like that? Yeah. Why are they like that?
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong? Right.
And if you do know what's wrong and you have done that, just explain it. If you just
having
an aha moment and say, you know, I was really insecure. So I went crazy.
I was having a bad time. You know, again, that's ownership of your own stuff.
Yes.
So you're not freaking the other person out and making them think it's them, you know.
Right, exactly.
And you know, and depending on where you are, you might not be ready to go into deep detail, but just say, hey, look, I was having an off day and you know, my head was west and the rest of me was east and
what
the heck, what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's definitely a silver lining moment.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Oh my gosh. I would say, I guess, you know, kind of like wrapping it up. So I have an interview pretty soon. So yes. I gotta like make this one a little shorter than usual, I think. But as I was telling you, one of the hardest things for me is when I've been with a client for a really long time and they're better and they go, they don't need me anymore. And like, luckily some of them stayed friends and I become local clients became friends. So I do stuff, you know, and, but on the lines, there's such a physical distance and, you know, and the company keeps us distance from knowing these people in person or on, you know, otherwise.
Yeah. Personal details or personal contact information. We don't.
Yes.
Have
and, so I just always want to know, you know, some people I've just always wondered what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess the silver lining is that it doesn't matter because at the time they got what they needed. You know,
exactly.
I like to think it kept helping them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And whatever they took forward with them to whatever they went on to next, even if I don't know what that is.
Yes, I know.
Then definitely my thought is if they got what they needed when they needed it, and that was our connection and that was the extent of our connection, I can be at peace with that.
Yeah, I can too. It still like makes me wonder once I'll get a little nostalgic, you know, I remember, you know, and I think another thing that can be, the silver lining is when they come back and just kind of having the faith because you remember your energy. And when you do hear from them, their energy is just there again. It's like never stop talking, you know, with those clients. Another thing I've had a difficult time with is abuse, clients who are being abused they know it, you know, and they just won't get out of it for, you know, they keep going back to it or the person won't leave the house, you know, stuff like that. And especially in the South, women just don't speak out against that stuff because it's so common, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just how people are treated, women and men, you know, some men are raised by women here too. People are just very fast to, you know, to use physical violence against or even emotional violence against in this area, because I don't know if it's like that everywhere. I mean, it didn't seem like that when I lived out west. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like that in New England, but here it's aggression is like, I mean, we have no gun laws, basically. You know, you can just go to a McDonald's with a gun on your hip, you know, anyone without registration. I think that's how it is in Alabama now. It's just crazy. But it's just the protecting your rights is taken into an aggression, you know, of protecting your rights. Aggressive.
Right. And aggression is not okay. You know, your rights end where someone else's begin, and someone else's right someone else's right to safety and to feeling unthreatened is their right. And as soon as you cross that line, your rights, you've overstepped your boundaries.
Yeah. And I mean, the silver lining is that they almost always end up leaving them. And sometimes they go back and sometimes they leave them again.
Yeah.
But it's always really hard to see these people that I find so beautiful, and they've even, as clients, they help me every time, you know, in some way or another. They raise my energy up because I have to raise it to work with them for a reading.
Yes.
Or they write me up, look at the cards real quick, you know, and it does perk me up, you know, it gives the energy flow in and stuff. So I, you know, even though I ended detached from that, I had to learn to detach from the energy of the situation. You know, this is not my situation. All I'm doing is helping what I can. And I've had to put boundaries down before. Look, I can't listen to this anymore.
Yeah.
Not like that, but you know, you are being abused. I am not a counselor. This is like something for the police, you know, and.
Right. There's other.
You're not listening to me, you know, you're not getting the help you need. You have to find someone else because I can't hear it. I can't watch you be abused anymore.
Exactly.
You know, I have to protect myself in some cases, you know.
Yeah, because you can't buy into the magical thinking that somehow if a psychic or a reader tells you a certain thing can work a certain way, it still is not a magic wand, right?
No, that person has been abused and they carry that with that person constantly, the victim constantly in the past. So maybe it just carries forward. I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I mean, some people can get through that stuff, but I haven't known anyone who has, you know? So, but.
Yeah. And I have definitely encouraged people, look, there's various types of support out there. Probably better than what I can offer you. Not that I don't care.
Right.
Not that I don't want
to help. I'll listen and talk with you.
But there are other people's help that you need that isn't the kind of help I can give.
Yes.
Start building that support network so you can get what you need that will really help you change your situation.
Right. Exactly. And that's been, one thing. But when they do change their situation, when they do find that person or they leave that person and they have their own time and their own space with their kids or whatever, and they realize that this is better, and you know, they realize it's better, you know, they stay there, that makes me really feel better. You know, when they do get away and they realize that they didn't deserve that ever, never.
Right. Right. It wasn't okay. Yeah. Nothing could have
never their fault.
Right.
To have that extreme, but I don't know, what else can you think of that might be a,
well, I don't know, and if this isn't a good time, we can wait, but we can do the, what I think of as my silver lining story. The Zen story. It's pretty quick.
Go for
it. I'm going to actually read it rather than just try to tell it. So there once was an old Zen farmer. Every day, the farmer used his horse to help work his fields and keep his farm healthy. But one day the horse ran away. All the villagers came by and said, "We're so sorry to hear this. This is such bad luck." But the farmer responded, "Bad luck, good luck. Who knows?" The villagers were confused, but they decided to just ignore him. A few weeks went by, and then one afternoon, while the farmer was working outside, he looked up and saw his horse running toward him, but the horse wasn't alone. The horse was returning to him with a whole herd of horses. So now the farmer had 10 horses to help him work his fields. All the villagers came by to congratulate the farmer and said, "Wow, this is such good luck." The farmer responded, "Good luck, bad luck, who knows?" A few weeks later, farmer's son came over to help. He visited him and to help his father work the farm. So while trying to tame one of the horses, the farmer's son fell and broke his leg. Here come the villagers. They're commiserating with him. They're saying, "Oh, this is so awful. This is such bad luck." And just as he did the other times, the farmer responded, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" A month later, the farmer's son was still recovering. His leg was still healing. He wasn't able to walk or do any manual labor to help his father around the farm. An army regiment came marching through town, and they conscripted every able-bodied young man to join them to go fight in a war. And when the regiment came to the farmer's house, they saw this young man with his broken leg, and they just kept on marching. He's no good, right? We can't take him with us. all the villagers once again around and said, this is amazing. This is such good luck. You're so fortunate. And by now, of course, you know what the farmer's response was.
Bad luck.
Good luck. Who knows?
Who knows?
That's how changeable life is.
It's so true. That is a great attitude. Because you never know where it's going to lead.
It may seem bad.
We should. We're psychics, but we don't. Well, we don't. Not for ourselves.
We're like, well.
Not for ourselves. I'm not good with
possibilities.
Possibilities.
But yeah, so there's, again, there's a lot of things. And, to me, I think I'm actually a practicing Buddhist. I'm not always a very good Buddhist.
Good Buddhist.
I do my best. Because sometimes compassion, and I am a very, very compassionate person.
You are, yeah.
But if somebody really is kicking me around, it's pretty hard for me to muster up the compassion that says, they're coming from a lower, if you want to say, a lower life condition.
Yeah.
They're coming from a different place that isn't my place.
Yeah.
And rather than judge it, to just observe it and understand that they're coming from a different place.
Right.
I have a pretty bad temper, and my temper is not compassionate too. And not Buddhist. It's very, I would like to, do bad things and say bad things.
Yeah, freaking check out Boston temper. It's like the father in A Christmas Story when he's eating the heater in the basement.
There's a Boston temper.
So
I realize I realize my shortcomings. I know what I need to work on, but yeah, a lot of things. And this is something that through my years of practice, I have learned. We're human and we like control. Yes. I don't mean control of other people. We like to feel like we're in the driver's seat, right?
Right.
And all of us, because of our ego, because we all have one, says, I want what I want, when I want it, the way I want it. And if it's not working out that way, life is not good. I mean, we may not be flipping out. I mean, we may not be flipping out or anything, but we're not content.
Yeah.
We are not happy or content with the situation.
Right.
So for me, the idea that, what I've kind of shifted over to remember that there's a whole universe operating of which I only see a little piece, even as a psychic.
Yeah.
Or even when I'm in contact with the divine or with my guides or any of that, I'm still only seeing a piece. I am not seeing the whole picture.
Right. Right.
So I've tried to shift to preference. Okay, so this is not my I would prefer other than this not so great thing, or what I'm thinking of as a not so great thing.
Yeah.
Just because something isn't our preference doesn't mean that it's not the best thing or the right thing for that moment in time. Not forever.
Mary Gail said, yes. Yeah,
but for that moment in time, no, I would prefer to do other or have other to deal with than this thing that's on my plate.
Yeah.
But that's okay. And it's only for now.
Right.
It's not exactly. Forever. It's for now.
And that is the best silver lining. And every silver lining and every gray cloud eventually blows away anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a comfort in knowing.
This too shall pass.
Yeah. good or bad. And the bad, then you should be even more appreciative.
Yes.
Celebrate it and feel it and love it and embrace it. And the not so good, it will get better.
Yes. And remember, get better. And fantasize about the good times. Try,
Yeah, because there is something good that will follow.
Come out of this.
Yeah.
Yes, out of this hardship or this gray cloud. Yes.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Donna. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Everclear. Everclear is an advice app and website, everclear.com, where you can get advice from psychics and empaths so you can get the clarity you need to create the life you deserve. And Donna and I are both advisors on Everclear. I am Lisa P, L-E-E-S-A, letter P. And Donna M?
I am Maria.
Maria M. Oh, I got
Maria
it.
Maria M.
Almost.
Which I think a lot of people think is actually Mariam. which is
Mariam, which is very
beautiful and biblical, but it's
and Maria. We have a Miriam and she's been on. Yeah. So that's really confusing.
Mariam. So that's me on Everclear.
Yeah. I love you, Everclear. We love you.
Yes,
and,
we do.
And of course, Donna, thank you so much as always. Any advice to readers out there going through a hard time with one of their clients and really wondering if it's worth it?
Take really, really good care of yourself first. It's kind of like the old thing of, you know, when they tell you, you know, like in the airplane, right? If there's a crisis, put your own mask on first.
Right.
That is not selfish. That is survival. If you're not breathing, you're not
going to help anybody else.
You are not going to be able to help anybody else. So take good care of yourself. Show your clients love and compassion. Remember to check those boundaries and remember that their life is still their life. Their path is still their path. You are doing what you can to help, but you can't live it for them. You can't walk it for them. With luck, you'll walk a ways with them and they will get the benefit of that.
Yes, exactly. I love that. It's beautiful. Beautiful advice. And thank you. And
thank you. I always love coming on with you. We always have a great conversation.
I know. And it doesn't always have to be a tarot talk anymore.
We kind of go into all.
Go whatever. Yeah, we can do it. It's totally love it. Love it. Because you go there with me down all the rabbit holes. Like this conversation, very awesome to me. Because I was thinking about it for a while and I was like, man, I want to do the podcast about that. How do you talk about it?
Perfect.
You know, without, you know, this is, you know, without sounding like ungrateful or something or being. Like I'm the worst psychic ever.
No, it's a challenge. It's a
hard job.
Right. Because we're very, even if that call is a 3-minute call, there is a connection there.
There is. Very.
And for whatever that is in that time period, short, long, in between, whatever, ongoing, not ongoing, we've made a connection with somebody on a really deep energetic level.
Yeah.
And we have to be, again, we have to be mindful of how important that is, that connection.
Right,
is.
Right.
Okay. And keeping it both, you know, healthy and constructive and productive for us and hopefully for the client too.
Hopefully, so. You can't force them to have a reaction, but you know, if your energy is gentle and loving and kind towards them, that's the best you can, is all you can do. You know, and yeah, that's great advice that you gave too. And listeners and watchers, we love you everywhere. Mm-hmm. Wherever you may be. And everybody have a wonderful time wherever you may be. Peace out. Bye.
Peace out. Bye for now.